This is The Buzz, Studio W, the global radio network. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to our listener audience around the globe. This is The Boomerang Radio Show. I am your host, William A. Brown. Got almost a full panel here tonight. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Got a great show coming up. And I've got, oh, my God. Hey, Mike Ward, how are you, partner? Mike,
unmute yourself. Hi, everyone. Hey. See you all again.
All right.
Hey, how are you?
My great friend, Kennard Moffitt. Hey, bro.
What's going on, my man?
Man, I was wondering, you know, I said, you know, you didn't respond to me. I said, now, is this brother up? I said, he must be busy. He must be busy because I called you early this morning. I sent you two texts. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, you're breaking up a little bit. Breaking up a little bit. You were loud and clear. Okay. We'll come back to you in a second. Dr. Sims.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, you're coming in loud and clear.
How's everybody? Hi.
Great.
Happy New Year. Hey, how are you?
And Wooten Taylor.
Hello, my friend, and everybody on the panel. How are you doing?
Happy New Year to everyone. I'm doing really
good. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Right. And Brother Tisdale.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to be here. So good to see everybody.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yes,
he is. Oh, my. You know, hopefully Dr. Demery will join us. And I'm almost certain that Dr. Harris is listening. I talked to her earlier today.
I hope she's doing well.
Well, right. We miss her. And, you know, just like all of us, everyone goes through some challenges every now and then. She wants your prayers, and she appreciates your prayers. So let's do that.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Okay, okay. Brother Moffitt.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's much better, much, much, much better. Oh, thank you so much. Anyway, not sure whether you, ladies and gentlemen, heard the previous broadcast. Let's talk about with Miss Penny. Mike, I believe you did. Mike?
Talk about which? No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I might be a little broken up. It's a little choppy here.
Okay. Okay.
The sound is a little choppy, what I'm hearing.
Okay, I understand. All right. You know, I don't know whether it's the weather or not, but a lot of our hosts are having problems because, many of you don't know. Most times my audience tells me, wow, who is that in studio with you? Because you guys come across just that clear, right? They're clearly, brother. And they think you're here, but I don't know whether the weather has a lot to do with it. I believe it does if you have Wi-Fi with somebody that has more technical knowledge about the internet than I do.
Just always remember, William, you're going to the satellite out there in cyberspace. And it's coming back, so you will have some interruptions from time to time.
Right. And my guess is that it sometimes it's weather related, depends on, because there's some unseasonable weather, especially on the West Coast.
Sounds really bad here on the West Coast, William.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You know the thing about it, because I always complained when I was there that we didn't get enough rain, and now you guys are getting to seem like all of it at one time.
Oh, I'm not complaining, we need it. Yes. I'm not complaining, as long as it don't flood my city. Hello.
We'll pray for the rest of them.
Yes,
here. Well, Dr. Sims, you're protected. You know, God is keeping you safe.
All day long. Thank you, Dr. Tisdale. That's right.
Amen.
You know, and what a great segue, Danny, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
William?
Yes, sir. Mike?
William?
Yes.
This picture is from yesterday.
Wow.
In your home stomping grounds, this is Forest Falls, which is part of San Gregorio Mountain.
Right.
This was taken yesterday by one of my old search and rescue teams.
Amazing.
This is right above, kind of north of Yucaipa, above Calamesa in the San Gregorio Mountains.
Right,
here in
right.
San Bernardino County. So that's a picture from yesterday during a training mission.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm going to My wildest guess right now, and I may not or be too far off, we would probably, if we had a picture of Big Bear, California, which a lot of the nation knows about, Big Bear is one of the most famous ski resorts there is in the United States. And so would I see a similar picture, Mike? Oh, you're delayed a little bit. Mike, what I'm going to ask you to do, to log off.
Do I have a similar picture?
No, you Kuiper. No, I'm talking Big Bear. Mike, I wanted to ask you, I'm going to tell you something, or ask you to do something. Log off and come back on because you are very choppy. You're very choppy. So let's see.
Let me do that. I apologize for everyone.
Well, let's make this, let's see if we can make that work for you. Brother Moffitt.
Yes, sir.
Is it, I'm going to ask a dumb question. Is it wet in your neighborhood?
Oh, it's a little overcast today, you know, like Dr. Sim said, it's been raining a little bit off and on here. I mean, quite a bit lately, more than usual, but I'm enjoying it. So, hey, no complaints from my end.
Well, Brother Moffitt, we're supposed to have another storm coming in next week.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Another one of those bomb cyclone things.
Not quite like that. Okay. But we're supposed to get some rain for a couple of days starting. Yeah. I think it said tomorrow, actually.
Right. Wow. Tomorrow, Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing. Like I said, it doesn't, you know, there's a song out and my friends around the country, they used to say, yeah, it doesn't rain in Southern California. What? I forgot who made it, who wrote that song.
Tony.
What kind of DJ are you? What you mean? I'm not a DJ. I'm a radio personality. So that's okay. a huge difference. Okay.
All right, Ann,
you couldn't wait. It's 2023, our first week back, and so you want to start, right?
Well, you started Thursday.
Oh, the gloves are off, ladies. Okay.
Don't even. It's a new year. You was sweet. I told him, and he was sweet in December because my co-host said, "What happened to William?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe
you
got some
arthritis." No, it was Christmas time. I'm thinking maybe I get a present.
He messed up. Okay, it's on. Boxing gloves.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
Come on with it.
Oh, I'm excited about this. Hey, speaking of which, hey, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Dr. Sims. Okay, she, her show that comes on each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 o'clock on the West and 6 Central, Miss CeCe's Kitchen. And Mike, oh, my God, Mike was listening to your show Thursday. I know he was. I know he was listening to me because he commented on it. Mike, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You can speak for yourself, sir. What did you say about Miss CeCe's Kitchen?
Well, I think she's spot on with a lot of her observations about our society and the issues and problems that we continue to have. And she's very good about not just bringing forth the problems that exist in our society, but she actually brings forth solution, which is something I was taught. If you're going to come to a superior with a problem, and I know that Sergeant Moffitt knows this one, if you're going to come to somebody with a problem and moaning and complaining, then you better have at least one option to fix it, or probably better to have two or three options on what you believe on how to fix things. And that's what I notice about CeCe when she does her program. She brings forth the issues and solutions.
Wow. Yes. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike. That's an honor. And that really makes me to know that we're on the right path here. And I appreciate your feedback. Sometimes it gets hard. We get, trust me, I get the darts after the show, but you know what? Ask me if I care. Anyway, I'm trying to be nice, okay? Because we're.
Yeah, she's trying real hard. Okay.
William, you know what? Anyway, Mike, this is for Mike. Thank you so much, Mike. That means a lot to us.
Yeah. Well, I texted you the other night. When Mike, hey, ladies and gentlemen, since we've been together, Mike and I have our own show on Thursday nights right after Miss CeCe's Kitchen. And it's called Mad Mike and Wild Will. Now you see that.
All right.
You see the guy all the way to the right of my bottom screen. That looks, preserved and conservative. I'm talking about Mike. I'm looking at the right of my screen. Hey, don't let him fool you folks. when he turns into Mad Mike on Thursday nights. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a music show. It's a lot of fun. We have a great dialogue, jabbing at each other. It's just a whole bunch of fun. So tune in to Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast.
Yeah, we're not very serious when we're doing the music. Well, we're serious about the music, but we're not serious when it comes to our banner between William and I.
Oh, you guys can
well,
imagine.
You understand. You understand.
Yes, he does. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You completely get it.
I'm hardly sure wait to get started.
Oh, you talking there, Dr. Sims. You didn't answer my text when I told you that Mad Mike gave you a really nice shout out the other night,
William,
you?
Why you want to do that? Why you want to
exactly.
do that? Because you talked to me on the phone. You know what? You messing with the right one.
I love it. Ooh. I love it. My job is to stir stuff up.
Messages to be answered, like, immediately. Do you not? I guess I'm not married to my phone. So that's me either.
Thank you very much.
And so people are like, people get really mad or they think you're ghosting them if you don't. I'm like, do you not have other things to do in life?
And I thought I was talking to Dr. Sim.
You were, but.
Thank you, sis. Come on, girl. Help a girl out. Come on.
And you know that.
Brother Moffitt. Yeah. Brother Moffitt, would you put a stop to this madness here? What do you guys say,
Brother Moffitt? Brother Moffitt,
you're working
a lot of wisdom.
Your arms this year, man.
I know. Come on.
What you say, Brother Moffitt?
You're strong with us.
You're
Brother Moffitt.
To work today. I'm trying to relax now. You want to put me to work.
His name is Bennett, and he's not getting it. That's the translation.
That part.
You know, I was talking to Brother Tisdale earlier today. I said, you know, Brother Tisdale, hey, what did I say? I said, I'm out of control. I'm having fun. I'm not going to act right.
The out of control part was good.
Yeah. It was honesty. William. We appreciate the honesty.
What'd you say, Brother Tisdale?
He got a big spoon. He just stirred a pot.
He always do. Come on now.
Whoop, whoop. I love it.
Anyway.
But anyway, let's get to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank our listening audience around the globe. We've got several people that's listening. I know that Doreen Cephas is listening. Beverly Haynes. Let's see. Penny Smith. Kim Rogers. Oh my goodness. So many more. Guys and gals, if you are listening, let us know. Send me a text message. 909-910-0265. 909-910-0265. Also, I might invite you to go to the website and subscribe and leave a comment. Okay. And let everybody know who you think is the most sane person on this show, which happens to be me. So you put my vote in now.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
All
right. How are you going to ask a question and answer it?
Stop. Tell them to call
yourself.
Myself or Ann. I'm the therapist.
Thank you. And you're sane today?
Is it just for a few minutes?
I mean, what? What happened?
See, I always get a reaction, folks. I am doing my job.
Oh, okay. The prescription you wrote him. All right.
That part.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to step aside for a second because I'm going to have, Mike. Okay, folks, I'm getting serious right now. Former investigator for the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department, Mike Ward. And several years ago, Mike put together this program. And Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, it's called Refuse to Be a Victim. Refuse to be a victim, okay? Mike, I want you to take it over now and just give us the whole gist and what do we want to accomplish during this program?
Well, I think I went over it the last time we met together as a group. This program was, I was asked to create this program for seniors because our department was getting a lot of requests for educational programs from the senior community. And the issue was that the two vulnerable spectrums of our society are the very young and the very old. And I'll put myself in that senior category. You know, we're a little more vulnerable than we used to be. So I put it together for seniors because when you look at children, especially young children, they're almost always supervised. But as people get older and become seniors, their kids get married, they move to a different state or they're further away than it's comfortable. Maybe a spouse dies and now that person is alone and our mental faculties aren't as acute as they once were when we were younger. So we become unwanting victims of the evil that exists out there in society. So that was the premise behind creating this program, Refuse to Be a Victim. And then what happened is it became so popular that the seniors started talking to their kids and their kids talked to their kids. And I started doing school programs, college programs. And we opened it up to just anybody that wanted to host it. So I've done a number of the service organizations like the American Legion, the Moose, the Elks, the Eagles, a lot of the service organizations, which comprised mostly of some seniors. So I'm still really addressing the senior community a lot. And I continue to do it, even though I've retired from the department. I still enjoy doing it very much. And so that was the inception for Refuse to Be a Victim.
Well, you know, you and I started talking. Well, you've been doing it for a while, but you and I brought you on, I don't remember how long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago. And we've had, it was my pleasure to have you on talking about this. And we did it, I believe it was on a Saturday or something like that. And, I wanted to bring you on the Boomerang Radio Show, because this is our highest, the content of listening audience is greater on Sundays. Okay. And the Boomerang Radio Show, especially because, Brother Tisdale and, Dr. Sims will tell you, and Kennard, I know you've, Kennard, rather, you've listened in also, and we've covered everything from, mental illness, abuse, you know, physical, mental abuse, and on and on and on, various topics that affect us each and every day. Okay, and through our lives, right? We've talked about politics to ignosium, but I thought this was most important because, folks, to enjoy a good life, and I mean I'm talking about good quality of life, we've got to stay safe, don't we? We've got to protect ourselves. We have to protect our loved ones. And so throughout this program today, and Brother Moffitt, former Sergeant Moffitt, I want you to jump in there too, because as being a law enforcement officer, I'm sure you've had to deal with this on many occasions, just like you with Mike. You guys investigated. You've had to, apprehend suspects, you know, follow up and do certain things. So, and then I want the panel. If you have a question for these two gentlemen, just jump in, and you might even want to share some of your own experiences or something that you know somebody about. So, Mike, let's talk about this. And Brother Moffitt, you were on, and Dr. Sims and Ann are doing the holidays, and we were talking about holiday safety. We were talking about situational awareness and what we should do during the holidays. But we need to be safe every day. So, Mike, start anywhere you want, whether it's something. You can either start with cyber, or you can talk about what's happening here in our day-to-day life, the things that we encounter.
Well, if I may, we sort of covered safety at home a little bit last time we all gathered together. So let me talk about when you step outside your door, because when you're home, that's your castle, and you're relatively safe in your home. At least I hope you all are. I know there's areas of this country where even your home may not be safe, but let's assume for the sake of this discussion that your castle is relatively safe. But when you step out into the public area, you are now exposing yourself to some of the craziness that's going on out there. We have a lot of, and Dr. Sims, I'd like you to maybe comment on this. We have a lot of drug-induced psychosis, a lot of mental illness that's created through a great deal of drug use. Would you not say that that's accurate?
That is very accurate, Mike. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's increasingly higher than maybe the year prior, because people are resorting to the drugs to forget about their issues. There's several problematic issues, and they are walking the streets, folks. I just saw something last night, Mike, that they are telling us to make sure your doors are locked, because we have people who are walking around just turning doorknobs, who is under psychosis. They're not really mentally stable, and you don't know what these folks are going to do. I told you my story the last time. People knocking on my door at 11 to 12 o'clock at night, And what they're doing is looking for money to support their habits. And they're making up all kinds of stories to do so, you know. So, yes, you're absolutely right, sir.
Yeah, please continue.
Yeah.
And
it's sad that we live in a society that just continues.
Okay. Sergeant Moffitt, we would like to have your feedback on any and all parts of this program, mm-hmm. because you have lived a lot of what's going on, like protecting and serving the community so forth and so on. Please, sir.
Well, I just want to, it's easy to become complacent. You know, there are people out there, they're watching us. They know there are people out, especially during the holiday seasons, they'll take advantage of, and they'll take your goodness or your kindness for weakness. So they will try to play you, take advantage of you trying to help them out. So you got to be careful, talk to these people, try to really get to the bottom of what it is that they want from you. Cause they'll approach you. You know, oftentimes nowadays we've learned that instead of, you know, passing someone money in public or something like, go buy them a meal or something like that. But, and that's when you'll really find out the people that are out there trying to get you, because they want nothing to do with you just giving them a simple meal. They want to see what else they can, you know, get from you. And, they'll watch you when you're out there shopping. They'll monitor you in a shopping mall or something, and you're carrying around these high-end, hold on, I don't know where the feedback's coming from, but if you're carrying around shopping bags from these high-end department stores and you're carrying multiple bags, you know, sometimes they'll follow you even to your residence and look for an opportunity to make you the next victim of their home invasion robbery or something effect. So,
that's right. Okay, we're getting the feedback from Dr. Demery.
Really goes back.
Go on, Mike.
So this goes back to what I started with, was when you walk out your door or you get in your car or whatever it is, you need to keep your head on swivel and be aware, because the complacency that Sergeant Moffitt's talking about, we have a saying that's complacency kills, and that's very true. And when the bad people are out there, the evil that's out there, do you think that they look at who's vulnerable and who's not vulnerable? You absolutely know that they do. So they're going to pick somebody that's got their head down on their phone. They're going to pick maybe a female that's elderly, that's small, that's got a big purse. That purse is the worst thing you ladies carry. The bad people all know that all your cool stuff, all your valuable stuff is in one convenient location called a purse. So stop carrying that purse. Or if you do carry a purse, don't put your valuables in it. You know, you can have your cosmetics and toiletries or whatever else in there. But safeguard your true valuables, your cell phone, your credit cards, maybe whatever cash you might carry. You want to safeguard that separate from your purse, because that purse is not only a convenient place for the bad people to know where all your cool stuff is, it's also a tool that they use to drag you to the ground. And I think I mentioned last time, there's a video that I have at, I believe it's a Walmart parking lot, where that guy jumps out of the passenger side of the vehicle, grabs this lady by her purse as she's trying to get into her vehicle. She wouldn't let go of her purse. He drags her, and she slides underneath the back wheel of the car.
Oh, wow.
And just before the car took off, she pulled her head out. Otherwise, they would have killed her by running over her. So that purse serves two bad purposes for you ladies. And I'm not picking on you, because I understand, you know, you have needs of beyond what guys carry. But that purse is, again, a convenient location for all your cool stuff, and it can be used as a tool against you. So maybe carry a little clutch purse, because it goes under your arm. It's much harder to get a hold of rather than a large purse with straps. So try to get, I have a friend that I convinced her, she used to carry a huge purse, and she's a little woman, and I convinced her. So she's got a little cell phone purse that has a wallet in it, her cell phone, her credit cards, and whatever cash she carries. And she will carry that under her arm, so she can't be dragged to the ground by it. And it's very hard to get a hold of that, because it's not a large object. It's a small object. So that's the first thing I would recommend for ladies that are listening in, is do your optimal ability. Do your best to no longer carry a purse. If you carry it with other stuff in it, don't protect it with your life. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth your life.
Well, what about those people who
questions come?
Well, what about those people who have to, you know, as an attorney, when I was a trial attorney, I often didn't just have a purse, but I had to put everything in either a card or, I know you've seen people with these, looks like luggage bags that they're toting behind them.
Actual shake cases.
Right, that roll. I mean, and it's a lot. It's a whole lot to take with you, and you kind of don't have a choice. So what do you do, you know, when you have to be in one of those situations where you're going to be a little bit vulnerable? Because I would have, you know, like 7 cases in court in one day. So I can't, files are thick. I couldn't get all of that in just a briefcase. It had to be carted around, and I still needed.
Excellent question. Again, your situational awareness is very important. Hopefully you're near a courthouse, and usually there's law enforcement around the courthouse, so it's probably not as dangerous of an atmosphere. And when you have one of the roll around carts, like it's a luggage cart and you're carrying all your files in there, it's a lot harder for them to grab that and go. What the bad people want is they want something that can grab, snatch and grab, or what they used to do with car, what they still do with cars is they'll bust the window and grab the purse on the passenger seat. That's the other reason for not carrying a purse. But try to walk with other people. There is safety in numbers as you're going in and out of the courthouse or your own professional office. Have somebody meet you outside if you're bringing in a large amount of stuff or you have true valuables with you. Have somebody from your office, your secretary or someone else come and meet you. Or if you're going into your home, have your loved one come out and meet you. Again, there's safety in numbers. Dogs are wonderful deterrents at your home. Even if they're small dogs, they're little yappers. They're still a deterrent to bad people. The bad people out there, the evil out there, they're going to go for the path of least resistance. And that's why they will size you up to see what kind of victim you are on a scale of, let's say, 1 to 10. Are you a 1 or where that you walk around with your head up, your cell phone put away, you're looking around. When someone's approaching you, you look them in the face. Don't mad dog them, but you look them in the face and acknowledge that you've seen them. That in alone can be a deterrent. So get your face out of that phone, put it away. You don't need to be on that electronic leash. I think Ann or someone was mentioning they don't live by their phone. I don't either. William will tell you that because he'll call me and I'll call him back the next day. But you don't need to be on that electronic leash.
Right.
You do not need to be on that electronic leash. So
yeah, 24 hours later.
Put it away while you're walking around.
Sound like you heard.
He's listening. I think he sounds like he's hurt.
Okay, because you don't call him back right away. That's what he does me too, Mike. Pay him no attention. Hello.
Yeah. Well, you know, if looking up and being
if you're cold, walking around with your shoulders back and your head up and you're looking around, you're observing your surroundings. That's the situational awareness that we are talking about here. That's so very important. Don't be a victim out there.
Can I jump in here for just a second, Mike?
Please, that's okay? why I pause. You guys jump in as much as you need.
Okay, sorry, Ann. I know you were getting ready to say something. One of the things I'm doing now with my son's a truck driver, and then my daughter, she drives a few miles going home. And so what we have started doing, I started, even though I'm not with her, but I am with her, I'm riding with her verbally. And she has, of course, she has the speakerphone on and I'm talking her out of because she gets kind of have anxiety with the traffic. So I ride with her verbally all the way home, even to the point when she pulls up to her driveway. I tell her to look around her surroundings. She's now being aware of cars that are parked out there and she'll wait. And then if they move on, then I tell her, and you said it too, Mike, the last time. Make sure even she goes through her garage, okay? Because what they'll do is duck and roll and come in the garage. So she's aware of that. But she's also, and I might make you laugh, she's packing too. So
right.
Yeah, she's packing and she's got pieces hidden.
Bless her.
And she's got pieces hidden where she can get to them.
Exactly.
And also my youngest son is a truck driver. He's also packing. Okay?
Right.
And so I drive with him from time to time, to make sure, that he gets to his destination. I think I really feel that we have to take the extra measure to protect our loved ones or our friends and to make them conscious of their surroundings and not be so, you know, like you say, as women, we go shopping, we oblivious, and not myself, but most times they're oblivious to their surroundings. And you have people who stalk you in the stores. I'll use that terminology. Mm-hmm. Stalk you in the stores and watch your behavior. Mm-hmm. And if you're unconscious to your surroundings, you're easy prey.
Mm-hmm. Brother Tisdale, do you want to add something?
You know, I'll say this. My wife is, she is such, she should have worked for the FBI. But her situational awareness is pretty present. So when we go out, you know, on New Year's, she went to play at a church on New Year's night, and I didn't want her to be out alone, so I went with her, you know, just to keep her safe, you know what I mean, because the program didn't start till 10 o'clock. But one thing we must consider, these mood substances that are being used today, people are acting completely outside of what makes any common sense. They will do any number of things. We must always be aware of that. I thank God that at least where I live, the castle, as Mike said, that I live in, I'm in a safe zone. I'm in a neighborhood where people are watching everything. My neighbors watch everything. They see something strange going on, they will call. We all exchange numbers.
Wow.
You know, it's a pretty good situation for me. But when we go to different parts of town, these areas, your situational awareness is very important at all costs.
Mr. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Is it Moffitt?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about, you know, situational awareness when you're obviously in your home or walking on the street. What about, you know, when you're driving? Because a lot of, I mean, it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but I remember when I was growing up, there was a real issue with people getting quote unquote carjacked. That doesn't happen as much anymore, but you do hear stories about people being forced into cars. About people, you know, children being in the back of cars when somebody's stolen them. And here where we live, there's even a law against, you know, warming your car up unattended. So what should people know about, you know, situational awareness when it comes to their vehicles?
Well, it's like you said, there's a lot going on, especially when you're on the freeway. I mean, you guys hear a lot about the road rage incidents taking place nationwide. You got to be really careful because you never know if the person in the vehicle next to you is armed or not and what their motivation is. For a lot of times there are crews of people on the freeway. One person will bump you from the rear and you're thinking you're going to stop for a moment to get out and exchange information while the other, you know, other people are going to get out and they're going to rob you. That's just, there's insurance fraud taking place on the freeway that goes down just like that. So, you just got to really be careful. You need to know yourself. If you're very, you know, temperamental and stuff like this, don't get caught up in, you know, he cut me off or because you're just looking for an opportunity to, you know, take advantage of you while you're out and about and on the freeway. Yeah, you don't want to get caught up in a road rage.
Yeah, do not engage with these people that like to road rage. If something happens, you know, give them the universal, the hands up sign, sorry, even if you didn't do it, just sorry, or you know, give them the please, you know, the praying sign, whatever, sorry, you know, mouth the word sorry. Don't engage with people because there's too many fools out there that would love nothing more than get in some kind of a battle with you on the road. So don't, you know, stay in a position where you're not, where people can, you want to give yourself space. Because space buys you time. So when you're riding right on the bumper of somebody in front of you, they can slam on your brakes, and that's some of the insurance fraud that Sergeant Moffitt's talking about. They will purposely get you to run into them because now you're at fault, and then they'll try to scam you that way. That's one of the big scams up there. The other scam is when you're on city streets is you'll stop at a stop sign. There'll be a car in front of you and a car behind you, and they will wedge you in where you can't move. So you never want to be in a position where you don't have an out. And this is something I touched on the last time we were together, is like, which lane are you in? If you're in a single lane on the city streets, there's not much you can do about it. Mm-hmm. But you can still give yourself room between you and the car in front of you. You should be able to see the back tires on the ground of the car in front of you. That gives you enough space if you have to turn the wheel to the left or the right to escape. If you're wedged in tight to the car in front of you and they wedge you in from behind, you're stuck. You're not moving. Wow. So give yourself an out. I will drive on a city sidewalk every day of the week, as long as there's not people on it. If I have to get out of a bad situation, I drive. I will drive on that sidewalk. I'll avoid the light posts and the stop signs and the mailboxes. But yeah, if I got to, I'll go over the curb. I'll pop my tires. I'll do whatever I got to
get away.
I would teach in Refuse to Be a Victim. If you notice that someone's following you, drive to a safe location. And one of the favorite locations that I like, there's a supermarket out here in Southern California. There's a chain called Stater Brothers. They're all over the place. And if they're open, take your car and drive it right up to the front door. Those doors will open and you lay on the horn. They love it at Stater Brothers when you do that.
Wow.
Everyone will come running to see what's going on. And you know what? Whoever's following you doesn't want a part of that. So yeah, if you have to drive to, a well-lit gas station where there's a whole bunch of people around, again, safety in numbers. If someone's following you, if someone is following you or you believe they're following you, the last thing you want to do is drive home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd start trying to exercise a little discipline out there, try to get vehicle description and license plate things that you don't normally do. You can practice that driving down the freeway. What kind of car is that? What color is that car? What was the license plate? You start, you know, making it a habit of doing stuff like that. You'll make it very easy for law enforcement or whoever's going to, you know, render aid to you to track that individual down, and they can do it very quickly. But you just got to be a little patient, you know, be a little disciplined and get good descriptions when you're out there, especially the individuals inside of the car. How many people were in the car that, you know, that you know, confrontation with?
That's all awesome. I say that because we moved from an area, we lived in a country, and there were times when I would be on that country road by myself and somebody, you know, you can't help it. People have car trouble, but a car would be stopped and it's a 2-lane highway. And so I'm not driving up on you until I'm confident that this isn't some type of situation where, you know, you're trying to harm me. So I would literally stop, you know, like a quarter of a mile away, you know, to kind of gauge the situation. And, you know, you feel more confident going once you've taken in the scenery, let them know, okay, look, I am, you know, not one of these people that's going to play with you. I will run you over. And not only that, if somebody is behind you, if there's another car coming, that makes it a lot easier. And another thing about it, this is a Christian radio station, so I got to put this plug in. When it comes to road rage, you know, because my husband can't stand stupid drivers, and who can? You know, there's a couple of things you need to remember. The first one is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we all make mistakes when driving. We all have cut somebody off, with, you know, intentionally. Sometimes we're in a hurry, we do it intentionally. and then you've got those situations where you don't see somebody, you know, and, you know, things happen. And so, you know, try to remember those times when you accidentally or even intentionally, did something wrong, while you were driving, and remember the fact that you wanted some grace, that you didn't want anybody to get upset with you. And the second thing is, you know, in Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, we teach people, that Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. And love is a synonym for worship. So when you obey the commandments of God, you are automatically worshiping God. And one of the things God tells you to do is to be slow to anger. He tells you that, you know, being quick to be angry is foolish. So, you know, try instead to worship your God instead of becoming angry. Just thank the Lord that, okay, nobody got hurt. You know, Lord, wherever they're trying to get to, let them get there safely. You know, because it could be an emergency. When my oldest son, we didn't know that he had allergies. And
we went out of town to visit my parents and my sister, and he had an allergic reaction to fish for the first time, and his face was swelling. I've been put him in a car seat. I threw my baby in the front seat next to me so I could watch him and strapped him in as best as I could, turned on my flashers, and I ran red lights. I was laying on my horn at the time, but it was a serious emergency. So when I got to the hospital, you know, they were like, what do you need? I held my baby up and they said, come on back. You know, so there was no sitting in the waiting room, no paperwork. You don't know what people are going through. So that's just me when it comes to how we as Christians should react to whatever is going on the road. We certainly shouldn't be flipping the bird, cursing people out, or any of that other stuff. We should worship our God in how we react in those situations.
Yes, you're exactly right, because you have let some people let it go.
Yeah, let it go. You're okay. You're, nobody's hurt. Let it go.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you have some people. Excuse me.
People go.
If I could jump in right there, sometimes when I'm out, when I see people do very nonsensical moves in a vehicle, what I'll do a lot of times, I don't say or engage in any kind of signs or using anything like that, but I will. I just like to look and see who it is, at least. And my wife tells me, don't look at him, don't look at him.
ignore them, look straight ahead. Right.
Here in Dallas, driving in the Dallas area, it's really bad. I don't know if we have a shortage of officers or what, but I have never seen so many people driving in traffic, and we're going on 60, 70 miles an hour, and they wait to the last minute to jump over from the left lane.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I've seen it time and time again.
He's true. It's true. They can't drive in Dallas.
They can't drive in California either.
They can't drive in Virginia.
Yeah, Southern California's just as bad.
They are
really
Southern California's
California.
Just as bad.
I don't know. I hadn't been there, so I can't compare the two, but it's something about Dallas. I mean, I'll take Little Rock over Dallas every day of the week when it comes to driving. I love you, Dallas. I do. But which is why I have been there. But yeah, it's something
about Dallas. I won't complain about Southern California, because I just recently had to go to Jersey several times, and the things I saw in Jersey, I didn't believe they existed. the streets, oh my God. It's like, wow.
And let me ask you a question. Let me ask a quick question. Have you guys been to Chicago?
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
Look.
I
tell you what. If you're at the stoplight for more than a half second. Okay, they will lay on the horn. I mean, it is absolutely.
You have to get out and fight for your life if they do that. Wow. You're right. Oh, my goodness.
So they just want you to kind of yield at the stop sign. Don't stop.
They have high anxiety levels in Chicago. I believe that. They left home with PTSD, whatever they left home with. They take out everything on the road. That place, I wouldn't
want to
raise a dog.
I'm going to say this too. And if you're in Arkansas, like Ann said, love thy neighbor until you get him out. Make me mad, I'm going to run you over. That's what I
heard. And ask for forgiveness. Come on now.
And if I heard Mike and Brother Moffitt, Danny, I also heard something about she's packing too.
Oh my.
I'm just saying. Her.
She's got that Texas Arizona mentality. I'm like, they all are doing
good. I'm just saying, you know, I will try to put myself in your shoes, but if you don't hurt me, that means I'm going to hurt you.
Yes. Can I ask a question real quick? You know, you all were talking about, I think it was Sergeant Moffitt was talking about, you know, being conscious of people around you. One of the, first I want to just make a brief statement. One of the things I learned as driving, and I'm old school, drive for the person in front of you, the persons on the side of you, and the persons behind you. Mm-hmm. Now, if they act a fool or something like that, I had to tell my daughter, because her facial expressions is the kill look, okay? And I had to tell her, you can't do that.
No.
Not in this dispensation, not in this time, because people will, I've had drivers who will literally, if I'm not going fast enough, now I'm going the speed limit and then some, and they are, everybody's in such a hurry these days, getting nowhere fast. And so if you are not driving 95, almost 100 miles an hour, I had a truck pull in front of me and put his brakes on suddenly, and we're going full speed. And these are the things that they're doing right now, okay? And that is very, very scary. To me, they have no consciousness of life, not even their own. But my question to you is, when you were saying get their, I think it was Sergeant Moffitt, get their car make and their car license or what have you, I would make a, would you think that if they're following you and they're constantly surveying you or casing you, would you not be, make a suggestion for them not to be ritualistic in their set patterns, their set way they drive home and stuff like that? Change their direction.
You definitely don't want to establish patterns like that, you know. You know, take different routes home, like you say. You don't want to establish a pattern where people are going to follow you home every day and find out where you live and just set you up for an opportunity to do, you know, conduct some kind of home invasion robbery on you at home.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I thought Mike said one other time, drive past your home. If you think somebody is following you, don't drive into your driveway. Mike, would you take up on that?
Mike? Oh, absolutely. If you think, well, first of all, if you are really, there may be a delay. Sorry, William, but if you really think someone's following you and you're in fear of life and limb, which if you have a concealed weapons permit, that's one of the things they teach you. In order to use that weapon, you must show that you're in fear of life or limb, not in protection of property. So if you're in fear of life or limb and you're in your car, there's no problem with you hitting your OnStar or dialing 911 and just following whatever the dispatcher tells you to do, or listen to them and they'll ask you the pertinent questions. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, if you're in fear of life or limb and you can articulate that, 911, that's what it's there for. Use it.
Yeah.
If you got the OnStar, that's even quicker, I believe.
Yeah.
But be aware of where you are. And again, let me say, buy yourself time by giving yourself space. You want space from the cars in front of you. You want space from, if someone's tailgating you, move over. Let them go by. Don't let them ride your bumper. Move over. Don't flip them off. Don't mad dog them. Move over. Let them go by. Then move back in the lane. Don't be confrontational. And something else I wanted to touch on here, because we were talking about freeways briefly. If you're in a 3 or 4 lane freeway, which are the safest lanes to drive in?
The safest
lane to drive on a freeway is the middle lane if it's a 3-lane highway, or the 2 middle lanes if it's a 4-lane highway. Most of the accidents, and Sergeant Moffitt, if you have input on this, please. Most of the accidents occur in the fast lane or the slowest lane as people getting on or getting off the freeway. Sergeant, is that your knowledge as well?
I mean, that's just been my experience. If they're going to set you up on the freeway, it typically takes place in the number one lane, you know, several cars boxing you in on the freeway. So back to that insurance fraud thing we talked about earlier, typically takes place, you know, on a major freeway at certain times of the day, and it's going to be in the number one lane.
That is good information.
So again, be aware of where you're driving, whether it's a city street or a freeway. Think of where do you have an out? Where do you have the biggest safety? What I call a bubble, kind of like the Star Trek force field, right? Pretend you got that force field. Don't let anybody inside your bubble or inside your force field. If they're too close to you to the left or right, move to another lane. If they're riding your bumper, move over, get out of the way. If you're riding somebody else's bumper, you're doing it wrong. You need to create that space and buy you time to brake, so that when you look up from your cell phone that you shouldn't be on to begin with, doing your texting, when you look up and all of a sudden you're eating the back end of a truck, that's not good. Get off the cell phone, stay off the cell phone, give yourself a lot of space in front. It used to be the 2-second rule on the freeway. Now a better rule is 3 seconds. So when that back into that car or that truck passes a certain location, it should be 3 seconds before you pass that same exact location. So buy yourself that time and space, create that safety bubble.
Hey, that's good information. You know, I just got a text in from my brother. That is Master Sergeant Clayton Brown from the United States Air Force. And he said that very good information, situation awareness was a topic that he had to do when he was in the military. I had no idea. Well, I can imagine how that would be necessary. Okay? So that is, wow. Had no idea. So this is a thing, folks. This is a real, real thing. And I when I broadcast this and put the information out, I said, this is one of the most important programs that we can do this year. And so I know there's going to be a part two. It might be a part three, whatever it is, folks. But our objective here is to make sure that we give you the information that you can have the best quality of life that you can. Have a great time. Have the great time. But however, you know, you can't have a great time if you're not safe. So you got to be vigilant. Okay. Brother Moffitt, Brother Tisdale, Mike, and Dr. Sims, your take. Either one, jump in.
I'll say this. Back in early years, they would teach defensive driving skills. And I went through several classes learning what defensive driving looks like. Now, a lot of people on a two-lane highway don't realize that left lane is used for passing. So if you are just driving in the left lane to be driving in the left lane, you can get away with that, but that's not the intent. You should be driving in that right lane if you can. That way, when people come up on my bumper, and sometimes I might be moving along pretty good, if I see them coming up at a safe time, I'm going to automatically move over to the right and allow them to pass. That way, I've seen people that want to stomp on their brakes in that left lane, think somebody's too close to them. These things is what causes roadway and people do certain things. We had a young man here that was in Dallas that was killed here a few months ago, you know, behind some simple stuff.
Wow.
Think his car was bumped and he exited the vehicle and got confrontational, and it didn't turn out good for him.
Well, not worth it, you know. It's not worth it. We all want to go home. Isn't our family. So,
wow, you know, you guys are making an excellent point, because, you know, for a few seconds to get home, maybe 2 or 3 minutes earlier, you know, you could cost you your life.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2 minutes, 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. If it was 34, what difference does it make? You know, you want to live to see another day. So is it worth it to take those stupid chances for maybe to get home a little bit earlier, maybe 5 or 10 minutes? Mike?
Well, what about William? I know we don't get enough education, especially in this time, and I think they get brainwashed with everything else, and I'm going to use that widely, that terminology widely. Why is it that maybe a organization or something like that could not teach also at what I'm trying to say is instill in them, if you have to be at a place at a certain time, don't leave late, because that's what causes a lot of distractions and distresses while driving. One of the things, and I work with my daughter a lot, even though she leaves early and she's in work on plenty of time, like when weather, leave extra early so that you don't have to be stressed out.
Yes.
You know, when driving, it is important, because I sometimes when I'm driving, you know, they late because the way they drive, they left late. They on people's bumpers, they're distressed. They're, you know, they're ready to fight. And my thing is, I think, we need to maybe we need to have something where they announce it on the news when it's raining, leave a little bit early, it's raining, you know, and things like that. But I think it needs to be a conscious awareness of being retrained now, I believe, because everything is such fast pace. But if you have to be at a place at 10:30, why are you leaving at 10 o'clock and it's 45 miles away?
Wow.
Okay, my toes hurt. I will just say this. I'm not a Kanye West fan.
I'm sorry.
No. My husband hurts my toes all the time. But I will say this. There's this song. I don't like Kanye West very much. Never have been a huge fan. But he has this one song that I can relate to called I'll Be Late for That. And I'm like, that's my answer.
So then you can't get mad at nobody, right?
Well, this is my thing. I am strategically late.
Oh,
I already know.
Oh, my. Okay.
I already know when it's something I don't want to do that I'm either A, going to be late for that, or B, not going to go to that. Mm-hmm. But we've got somebody who had us a comment. Author Lisa Hopkins said, thank God for Christian radio stations.